Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, this is the Handsome Boys Comics Hour. I am Robbie Dorman.
And I'm Eric Z. Goodnight.
And this is your weekly discussion of comics and other pop culture, your home for news, reviews, slightly antagonistic banter, and much, much more. Welcome. This is episode number 2. We made it past the first episode. That's very exciting.
Yep, numero dos.
Is that how you say that in Spanish?
That was Spanish?
I didn't know you're bilingual.
I just thought that was a cute way to say two.
Well, it is a cute way to say two. It is also Spanish.
Okay. That's good to know. Okay. I'm learning things.
So, we made it to number 2.
Aren't you all so proud of us?
We shouldn't be. I mean, our stick-to-itiveness should be applauded, I think.
We should be lauded.
Lauded. We could be lauded as well.
I don't remember Latin. It's words. Difficult.
They're very difficult. Yeah. We'll take a couple minutes. We didn't really go through this in the first episode, but we'll take a couple minutes and introduce ourselves more thoroughly, which we thought we Eric pointed this out. And he's correct. We should have probably done this. I'll start. Again, I'm Robbie. This is my idea for a podcast because I have more of a writing background. I was an English major in school. It's not worth much, but it is worth that I read a lot of books. So I write. I don't write very well, I'll say, but I do write a lot. So I'm coming from that perspective. And Eric is an artist. He can tell you about himself.
Yeah, I am. I'm a professional artist. I work in the printing industry. I have a background in illustration, Bachelor of Fine Arts from the East Carolina University School of Art. I have just been in love with art and comic art my entire life. And it's a pleasure to talk about it, even with a douchebag like Robbie.
I am not a douchebag. I thought we covered this. I'm more of an asshole.
Okay, this is, it's good to know.
I see, yes, there's a fine line there, but
it is important, you have to split to these hairs.
Exactly.
You have to split the douchebag asshole hairs, it's important.
It we'll go right into it, checking in. Moving along. I'll let Eric go first, because his is more of a mystery check-in.
Mine's a mystery check-in.
Yeah, I don't know. It could be anything.
Well, originally we wanted to check in on what sort of nerdiness we've been getting up to, but I'll just sort of fill you in on how things have been going for me that I had a date on Friday. I was really... that was quite a weird noise you just made. But, no, I had a date on Friday. I was pretty excited about it. She seemed nice, really nerdy. We talked about all kinds of different crap, and she completely blew me off. And, yeah. Yeah, we need some sound effects.
We need a soundboard.
Yeah, we do. Where's the morning radio show soundboard for us?
I'll invest in one for next week.
Yes, there we go.
They cost money, right?
I'm sure you can steal something.
Okay, I'll steal something
though. Yeah, that's good.
But she blew you off. You did end up drawing Sponzy though.
I did draw Sponzy,
and we'll have that up very shortly on the website for you guys to check out. It's quite excellent.
I feel pretty good about it. I was drawing it over breakfast, and I started without even thinking. I was drawing like spawn chains. You know, you saw them, right, Robbie?
Yes, I did. They're good.
Well, I was drawing them the way I drew chains when I was like a child, which is like very flat and not as if it's an actual three-dimensional object, you know? So, I put a stop to that and tried to draw them a little bit differently. That's what's going through my dumb head when I was drawing a sponsy.
It's a pretty good sponsy, though. It really captures what I had in my head, so I think it...
It was... It's what I was seeing. Pretty close, anyway.
All right. I'm gonna check in with an old video game that came out months ago.
Yeah.
But there's new DLC for it, so that's my excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Borderlands 2, everyone's favorite loot and shoot. They released their second downloadable character this week. Officially, they hacked him like a month ago. On PC, but mm-hmm. I play on Xbox, so I have to wait for the official Microsoft.
Is this one called Boyfriend Mode?
He probably should be. he's a steroided up psycho.
Okay, that's who everyone wants to take home to mom.
Exactly. He's been doing his DDP yoga because he has got some serious abs.
Nice.
So. But he has pretty cool play mechanics. I've been playing with him this week. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much like all in. You just run and gun insanity. Just like you do more, the less health you have, the more damage you do. Of course, his special attack is a big melee thing, and every time you kill someone with it, you regenerate all your health instantly.
Huh.
Which is pretty cool. Also, you like his three skill trees. One is just basically stacks on stacks of bonuses once you kill stuff and do damage. Mm-hmm. Another one is all fire based. Like you do more damage when you're on fire. And the ultimate ability in that is when you're on fire, whenever you get shot, whoever shot you, a homing fireball bursts from you and tracks him down.
Makes perfect sense.
And you also can breathe fire in that skill tree. I've been focusing on the mania skill tree, which basically is just all about melee, increasing your melee damage and explosive damage. And it also, whenever you die and you go into your little, trying to save yourself, the status bar taken down, you got to kill somebody to bring yourself back.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having a gun, you get dynamite to throw at people. and then when your status bar actually runs out, you explode. So if you kill someone that way, you come back.
I am stunned.
It's pretty fun. It's very enjoyable. It's a little weird because
I'm going to say that is weird.
But it's fun. It's very enjoyable. It's very unique. It's not. There's no other character like him, which I think is the good thing about it. But if you have Borderlands 2 and you haven't got him yet, I would say the two downloadable characters are by far the most interesting ones. It's the ones me and my girlfriend are playing as. So, I mean, and all the other ones are kind of fairly standard rehashes of the original characters. These guys are actually kind of new and unique. But yeah, I'll go in Borderlands 2. He's called Krieg.
Krieg.
Krieg. K-R-I-E-G.
As in war.
Yeah.
Half of Blitzkrieg.
Exactly. He yells a lot. He's good. A yeller.
He's a man after my own heart.
Exactly. All right. I think that'll do it for checking in. Next on is our news brief. We've got a couple news articles to discuss this week. Some fairly interesting things. First is we have news from Boom Comics that they are publishing a new RoboCop comic next year, and none other than Frank Miller will be writing it. It's also well not known that he helped co-write the original RoboCop 2 screenplay. I think most of what he actually wrote got cut out, but he did contribute to it. But I don't know. I guess it's noteworthy because it's Frank Miller, writing something. But I don't know. There's three other names on the little announcement, and I'm assuming some of those are artists. But I don't. It doesn't seem like we need that many names. So some are saying that he'll only do like the rough scripting, and everyone else do all the work. But I don't know. What do you think about that, Eric?
Frank Miller is a crazy man. He is a he's completely nut burgers. So I think that he should be not allowed. He should be like forced. He should get assignments. You know that he needs to. There needs to be more of the batshit nuts that he brings into the world.
Well, it's RoboCop.
I've been meaning to see the Spirit for
a long time. It's terrible.
I'm sure it's really bad.
I saw that in theaters. It's terrible. It's really bad.
I mean, you went to it knowing like this is going to be awful.
No, right? I saw.
You thought it was going to be good.
I was like, we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
I didn't have any expectations, and it has Samuel L. Jackson dressed up as a Nazi.
It's very plausible.
Exactly. It's just very strange. It's a very strange and bad movie. But I think maybe I know everyone's holding their breath constantly waiting for him to be Frank Miller.
Mm.
Daredevil Frank Miller, Year Zero Frank Miller.
It's we got to let it go.
But you'll never
bathe in the same river twice.
I'll probably buy the first issue.
I think I need to start a little collection of insane Frank Miller stuff. So I need to get All-Star, and I think if this is just as gold as that, I think I'll just have to keep it beside it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I'll give it a chance because it still is Frank Miller. Maybe his sanity came back to him for a month or something.
I am not going to hold my breath.
Well, we'll probably be reviewing it for this, so
I cannot wait.
And so it's going to be very exciting, I'm sure. And then the other big news of the week is DC announcing cancellations, which seems to happen every few months.
Hmm.
They did the Legion of Superheroes, which has been like running for several decades now. And now they're canceling that. Canceling Demon Knights, which I've always heard was kind of a unique, fun thing in the DC universe. Dial H and Threshold. Dial H, I actually bought the trade. It came out not too long, like maybe a couple weeks ago, and I bought it, and it's pretty good. I really enjoyed it. It's kind of a very unique take on, it's a very sci-fi take on superheroes, and especially, and it seems kind of, it's very, a kind of weird thing for a DC universe, but it was really good. I enjoyed the trade. So it's like 6 issues.
Now, are these just slow-moving titles?
Yeah, I imagine they're pretty much.
How is this reboot going over? How is it affecting sales? I mean, is this part of that, or is this just part of the? This is all a strategy for them to try and
keep sales
cut
up.
Back and get their sales up.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it works. All the big titles are selling well. Like you know, Batman, Superman, all the Batman titles, of course, are always the best sellers. Action Comics was selling well. I know that. I know all the Justice League and Justice Society and all the different, those associated titles are selling well. I know that there's always these titles that are kind of on the bubble. And they just, after, I mean, Legion of Superheroes and Demon Knights made 23 issues. They think they're the initial of the 52. They came out of, the initial run. And then Dial H came in the second one, and Threshold came out in the third one. Or fourth one. I don't know. But most of these cancellations, they've had several rounds of them. And it's usually just because they're not selling well enough. They usually let them run out through, a run, and then they're done. Which is unfortunate, because I thought Dial H, I read Dial H the trade, it seems like it has a lot of potential, but I don't know. Maybe it peters out later, or just hasn't been. They don't sell, they don't keep them around.
Hmm.
But they have, several, questions, there's a Shazam, there's no Shazam book. They're doing the big Trinity crossover, so some people are saying that it's going to be one of the Trinity-related title. Booster Gold doesn't have a self solo title, so, or another Justice League book, So it could be many things. It's just kind of unfortunate sometimes because I thought that, I mean, I know a lot of people, I heard on Twitter, I saw a lot of people, Legion of Superheroes, there's a big uproar about people them canceling that. And I thought Dial H was pretty good from the first trade I read. So some, I no one likes to see books canceled. I mean, Marvel does. I don't know. It seems like DC does this more than Marvel does. I mean, Marvel cancels books, but it doesn't seem like it. They seem like they give them more of a shot. I don't know.
They're more aggressive about it.
Yeah, DC is really like, we need to make money, so cut this book, put in new books.
Well, not everyone's owned by Disney.
That's very true. So that's what we got for the news brief this week. Next up, Weekly Floppies!
Weekly Floppies!
Say, that was beautiful.
I know, I really enjoyed that.
It was like a duet.
Mm-hmm.
The five books we're doing this week, first up is Wonder Woman, number 20, written by Brian Azzarello, and drawn by Goran Suzuka. I think I said that correctly. I hope so. Goran Suzuki and Cliff Chang, they shared art duties, I should say. Suzuka.
Okay. Goran Suzuka.
They drew roughly, he drew most of it, and Chang drew about 5 pages of it.
That's pronounced Chang?
I'm guessing.
Hmm.
I don't know. Chang?
Maybe.
Might be Chang. I don't know.
I enjoy the art in this, and
whenever they're crossing between pages, it's not, you can't really tell the difference from much. I mean, can you tell the difference between the different pages, the different artists?
What, in this?
No, yeah,
it's pretty consistent.
Yeah, it's pretty seamless.
I liked both the DC books this time, I think that was the opposite of the last time, or last episode. The art in this is great, and Azzarello, I enjoy his writing. I've read some 100 Bullets. He's pretty okay. He's top-notch in my book.
Yeah, he generally does a good job.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. It kept it moving. It was fast.
Mm-hmm.
Good fight scenes.
I think they are. It feels like a pretty entry level book. And that the story feels a little bit small. I mean, it's about gods and things, but you know, they're running through an alleyway trying to save a baby. You know, it feels like a more down-to-earth story.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that, and that this is,
I mean, just, you compare it to Uncanny Avengers that we reviewed last time, you know?
Yeah.
It's not big and overblown like that. Not that I, you know, dislike that book. It feels like very easy to get into, very easy to jump into.
Yeah.
I like that about it, and that feels, it seems like that was intentional.
Yeah, I mean, I've read the first trade of this, but that was, there's been, you know, several, I'm like, over probably 18 issues since, it was this 20, so there's 14 issues have gone by, and I can still see the traces of the original story thread. But yeah, I mean, that's not it's not hard to get into. You didn't need a primer pretty much figure out what's happening very quickly.
Yeah, and I really like that about it.
I'm not in love with it. But it's good.
I would be interested in reading more. I agree. I'm not necessarily head over heels with it, but it feels like it might be going to an interesting place. The things that are happening, I want to find out more.
Okay.
Let me throw this out there. How long has it been since they redid Wonder Woman's origin story?
Well, they redid it with a new 52.
That's when they redid it?
Yeah.
Because someone was talking about how, like, there are, like, no women comic book characters in, you know, Marvel or DC that get their powers, like, that they don't have their own powers. I'm trying to think. I can't remember the exact ramifications of what they said. It's like they couldn't be an alien or whatever.
No aliens.
Okay, so we did have this discussion.
Yeah, we did. It was in the comic shop. Okay. Yeah, no aliens and no mutants.
Right.
And they couldn't have drawn their powers from a male character.
Well,
like
they
couldn't be attached to a male character. Like, mm-hmm. You can't do, even with just the branding, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah, because what is her name? X-23.
Yeah, you can't use X-23 because she's associated. She's Wolverine.
She's Girl Wolverine.
Girl Wolverine. I threw out Kate Bishop because I think she's probably one of the strongest female characters out there right now. But she was Hawkeye, even though she had no connection to the actual character of Hawkeye. They called her Hawkeye, so she doesn't count apparently. Mm. But now Wonder Woman,
she was her. Her origin was she was brought to life by Aphrodite on the island of the Amazons, and now she gets her powers from Zeus.
Yeah, well, she's his daughter.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and Aphrodite lied about her original formation because she didn't want to anger. She didn't want the corruption of male influence on the island, I guess.
So is that the. Am I right about that? That was her origin, and then
with the
reboot, they changed it then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they just, it was...
It seems like an odd decision.
Well, I mean, but that kind of has kind of created all this whole story.
Yeah.
Like, that's because that's her relationship with all the gods, and this mm-hmm. this baby is actually also a child of Zeus.
Okay.
And they don't want the family to, I think it's Zeus. It's like a god's child, and they don't want to grow up the family anymore or something. And you can see that. They're trying to kill the baby.
Any book about killing babies?
Yeah, I know. There's not too many of them, though.
Not enough of them. God, are we going to... I think we need to get off on a tangent about the Alpha Flight. The Alpha Flight character that wanted to punch the baby that had AIDS.
There's an Alpha Flight character that wanted to punch a baby that had AIDS?
Who was he? He's like this Mountie, Super Mountie guy.
Super Mountie?
I don't remember the guy's name.
I'm trying to, I mean, there's the Guardian. There's Wendigo.
Yeah.
There was Puck.
He might not have been an Alpha Flight character,
but
he was North Star.
He
was associated with Alpha Flight. He was like part of that whole group, and he was seriously, like, he was a Mountie. He was dressed like a Mountie. It was very embarrassing.
I'm searching Alpha Flight. Mountie. Am I getting anything?
I can't remember the guy's name. He's, it's always something.
I'm just going to go to the Alpha Flight page and see what pops up.
It might not have been Alpha Flight, but he was a Canadian superhero that was upset.
It wasn't Wendigo, Sasquatch. Wendigo's he's in Canada, but he's a villain. Sasquatch is the big furry guy. Shaman, Snowbird, Aurora, Northstar, and Guardian. Mm-hmm. I swear Puck was in there at some point. Yeah, he got added in later. A dwarf bouncer. Let's see, there's Volume 2, there's more of them. There was Flex, Manbot. That's a great name. Murmur, Radius, and General Clark, Sinister New Directive Department H.
I have seen the Wikipedia page on this guy, and it's something that in college we used to make fun of him all the time. My friends... friends from art school, they had the panel where he was about to punch this baby in a crib, and it was...
Major Maple Leaf?
It was totally Major Maple Leaf.
Lou Sadler is the son of a World War II superhero of the same name. He's secretly a normal human who rides a super-powered horse.
Yeah, that's who he was. and he's looks like his old costume was he was very Mountie like, and
he was white and red. So yeah. He's in rank of staff sergeant in the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. So yeah.
Well, I'll have to find. Oh no, I just found it.
Oh my god!
I just found it. It's on majorspoilers.com. If you search for Major Maple Leaf Baby, he's about. God, it's so terribly drawn. It's pretty special. And there's Puck in the three panels.
It's on there. Cracked actually has a, this is included in a Cracked article.
Okay.
That's I'm looking at it right now. Alpha Flight versus AIDS.
Yep, there we go.
Alpha Flight can North Star contracts the mysterious. Oh, so this is later going to be revealed as AIDS. He was finds a newborn baby in a trash bin. Doctor discovers that baby has HIV, and they adopt her as an honorary member. Now, Good Major has a son who was gay, and of course died of AIDS. So what is he planning to do? Nothing less than storm the hospital and kill that baby girl with his super fists.
Yep. Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? I mean, that's the only thing you can do, is punch a baby. So we've come full circle. To baby yes. punching.
This is news to me. I've never heard Major Maple Leaf before, but that's quite a name.
I'm glad I can enrich your life.
What would I do without you?
I wouldn't know about
all the baby punching.
It's true. There'd be less baby punching in your podcast.
In my life.
In your life, yes.
Okay, moving on to the next issue in Weekly Floppies. This is Batwoman number 20. It's written by J.H. Williams III and W. Hayden Blackman. Artist is Trevor McCarthy with some back finish, page finishing, I guess. It says finished pages 6, 10, 12 through 20 by Sandu Floria. I enjoy this book.
Yeah, I had a blast reading this one.
It was pretty good.
Art is absolutely gorgeous, and I think that this one's kind of walking the line of being photorealistic, but I think it's very expressive. It's good line work, you know. I don't know. I think it's not just like drawings from photographs. It feels more than that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. I like a lot of things about it. I really love the color theme that's going throughout it. It's all the scenes where Batwoman's in it, it seems like all the color's drained out of the world and it becomes a lot more monochromatic.
Yeah, it does for the red. The red really pops out.
Her hair
and the costumes, it's really good.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I've heard buzz about this book for pretty much as soon as I got back into comics, and I've been meaning to pick it up, and I thought this is a good chance to take a look at it for the first time. And looks like the plot line's like really, really interesting, easy to pick up. I had not read, I had not known anything about it, and I pick it up, and I got it's pretty easy to go through. Action moves very quickly. I love that they jump right in, initially to that like huge war zone, with the one character that survives everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then they jump back and forth for that in between, and the Batwoman scenes. It looks like she's heading for a big showdown with the goddamn Batman.
Let us hope so.
You get a Batwoman versus Batman in the next Batwoman title story issue. Probably be pretty good.
I'm digging it. I'm really digging it.
Yeah,
I was not expecting to enjoy it. I think I was when I first picked it up. I was in like a kind of a shitty mood, and it's like, oh, comics, they make me happy.
Yeah, I'm probably going to continue reading this.
I think I need to as well. I'm interested to see where it's going.
I mean, if we I may fit it into future podcast reviews, but it's regardless, I'll probably read about it on my own. It's very good.
We'll move on from that. We're good.
Okay. Next up is regular show number one. Book based off of the animated series. I just heard that the first issue is sold out, and first printing is sold out. And
that's kind of unreal. I mean, it wasn't like a small run, was it? Was it just really that popular?
I imagine it was like an average. I probably prohibitively, you know, they probably hedged their bets a little bit. You know, made it a little smaller than average, but they can always do second printings and third printings if necessary. But it sold out. The printing is. First printing is done, and they're out of them. So apparently they're I saw one of the Facebook feeds, a comic book shop I follow, as said, oh yeah, we still got them in stock. Come and grab them at cover price before they're all gone. But so it's done very well already. But this is my favorite book of the books we read. This is my favorite. And I had never, and I had asked you if you would watch regular show.
It's a guilty pleasure. Every episode is effectively the exact same thing, in that they start out doing something normal, and then some completely weird thing happens. It's just feels like it's written very free association, but they commit to it.
Yeah, and the book is no different. They should start. Yeah,
it's the same formula for sure.
They start out at some folk concert, and then they open up a mosh pit to hell. And I loved it. I really enjoyed this. It just goes completely insane and roughly halfway through the book, and everyone goes crazy, and you know the folky guy gets gets his head smashed by some guy, and then he goes crazy and destroys his guitar and gets a flying V guitar, falls down from heaven, and he starts ripping up shredding, and everyone goes crazy, and they open up a pit to hell. So that's good.
I mean. It's the way it goes.
How do you feel about this?
I feel like setting out, I was kind of determined to hate it, and then everything you just described happened, and I was like, yes.
Yeah, it's hard to hate.
It is. It really is.
It really, hits our sweet spots.
Yeah. It does. It does that they open up a mosh pit and. Guitars falling from heaven. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. The art really steps it up at that point too. Like, I think it seems like they were trying to keep it really plain.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if it was a different artist or if it was just a decision of style, but they turned it up to 11, and it's pretty interesting. I think it's pretty effective to tell the story that way. That they're being, you know, they're breaking gutters and going all the way to the edge of the page, and like they're using richer color and all these things, and then they go back to like the page where Mordecai and Rigby talk to Skips, and it's sort of stood back from that. I don't know. It's thinking about it. It's a lot smarter than regular show probably should be.
That's probably true, but it's still, I enjoyed it a great. And I'm gonna start reading this because they gotta go into hell and find the concert stage and bring it back to Earth, I guess. And that's pretty awesome. That's the big, like, we're gonna need rope.
Doesn't
that's a big action hero stupid thing.
Doesn't Mark Hamill do Skips' voice?
I have no idea.
Why do I want to say that Mark Hamill does his voice?
Probably because Mark Hamill does a lot of voiceover work, so it's
yeah, he does. Quite possible. Yeah, there he is. It's coming up as a Google suggestion, so I want to say that that is correct.
Okay.
Mark Hamill. Voices of Mark Hamill, so he's in it. Okay. I want to say he does skips.
Okay. And the backup story, it was enjoyable as well.
Yeah.
A little bit crazier all the way through, not the up and down thing with the art. It's not this subtle, I guess. But it's a cute little story with a little funny punchline at the end.
I think it's pretty nice how these are all Kaboom books. That's who does it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that they're doing a really good job of getting these internet hipster artists to do this stuff. I'm liking this direction.
Yeah, I had pretty low expectations for it, and it exceeded them.
The bar was set so low.
Well, like I said, this is the 5 issues we did. That was my favorite. So, on to Marvel.
Yeah, and good Lord,
I know you're pretty down on it, but.
Well, I read it again. I think I've read it 3 times now. We're talking about Avengers first.
Avengers, yes. Avengers Enemy Within, number 1.
I've been interested, what's her name? Captain Marvel?
Yes. Yeah. Carol Danvers.
Yeah. Carol Danvers. I've been interested in the character for a while. And on a second and third read through, I've warmed up to it some more. But I think there's like a turning point in this book where it's right here between where Thor is introduced it's like 2 different books. It's like something I'm interested in, and then it just like turns to crap in my mind. Basically the page where
you get to see like muscly Thor stretching.
Yeah, where he just appears there, it just turns to garbage. It just seems really stupid. Before that, I'm interested. You know, they're talking about how, well, she's got some kind of brain tumor.
Yeah, I read the regular Captain Marvel book regularly. Yeah, she has developed this like a lesion in her brain. Yeah. That's like, because you know we have 2 hemispheres. And she has an additional hemisphere that controls her powers.
Oh, okay.
And there's a lesion growing on it, and basically whenever she flies, it makes it worse. And, you know, she tries to fly in this book, and it is, debilitates her. It gives her severe headaches. She passes out unconscious almost. But they've been leading up to this storyline the past few issues of Captain Marvel, you know, in the background. She went to the doctor, but it's with the mysterious villain. And, but yeah, I enjoyed this book. I'm definitely gonna, Kelly Sue DeConnick is, I enjoy her writing. And the interesting thing about her that she writes dialogue first before she plots out the page. Necessarily.
That's the writer here?
Yeah.
Yeah. To me, that makes sense. I think that comics are stronger when... I like narration and all that, too, but I think that comics are stronger when things are told a lot through the dialogue.
Yeah, yeah. I think either way you can do it well.
Yeah, it can be done well either way, but it is... I think
when you have multiple characters talking to each other in a naturally organic way and manage to progress the action, I really enjoyed. I think my favorite part about this whole comic is just the way that Spider-Woman looks in the first battle scene, how it's drawn and how like that's the way she fights.
Mm-hmm. I like the art in this too. It's loose and weird. And very quirky. There are parts where it seems like the artist is having a lot of fun with it, and there are parts where I don't know. There's some parts where it just feels like he just wanted to get through it. Like this whole scene with Thor. Like Thor looks awful in that drawing. I mean, he looks terrible.
I don't know.
I don't really like any of the drawings of Thor. I don't think he does a very good. I don't think he does a very good job at all. And that, and I think it gets a little bit worse as it goes towards the end. It really is like that. There's a dividing point there where I'm enjoying it, and then I stop enjoying it entirely.
I agree that the Thor part's a little weak.
It feels like the thing that they do in a lot of comics is there's a writer that's coming up with these stories, but it's written by committee, you know, that they're saying, well, we need Thor to come in here.
Well, it's an Avengers book.
I get that.
She writes the Avengers Assemble book as well, which is, I think this is in, that book is included in this event, the Enemy Within event. And the next one is Avengers Assemble 16 is the next chapter in this. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's just a process of, well, it is mainly about Captain Marvel, but you have to include, I mean, they include Spider-Woman. She's in the Captain Marvel solo book a lot, so I understand that.
Well, it feels like there's a point for Spider-Woman to be there. Thor just feels like, put Thor in there.
Well, it probably
was like someone that was like managing the artist is like, we need Thor in some more books, so put Thor in there. It feels artificial.
I think it's basically to match the fight scene. They're fighting giant dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
Who else are you gonna put in there?
I thought
you can't use Cap really. You could.
I want to see Captain America fight a giant dinosaur. Tell me that sentence does not excite you.
Well, you need to read his solo book.
I probably do.
Because he is in the Zoloverse, Baron Zola, whatever it is, and there he fights giant monsters. So
that sounds good.
Yeah, he's been there for 13 years, by the way. Literally, he has a son. That's a teenager.
Cap is.
Yeah, he's in this alternate universe. Mm-hmm. It's not really an alternate universe. It's just a different place. And he's been there for 13 years. His suit's like all ripped up and almost destroyed.
So he's like, it's like survivalist Cap fighting all this stuff.
Well, yeah, and it's very sci-fi. It's Rick Remender as well. The same guy does Uncanny X-Force and Avengers, which we read last week.
Is it collected as a trade?
Not yet. They probably will be releasing one soon. They're up there 8 issues, I think.
And if it does, remind me, we might want to do this for long format. I think it sounds like a lot of fun.
It's a very, very sci-fi. It's like a pulp sci-fi adventure, basically, with Cap America, which is excellent. But yeah, I enjoyed this Avengers book. I'm going to be reading this whole crossover event. I enjoy Kelly Sue. I enjoy her writing. And I joined this new Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers. I read Miss Marvel back when, before I got canceled, and this iteration of Carol Danvers is much more enjoyable.
I'm a little upset that I just saw that Milo Manara did a variant cover for this book, and it's not included in this digital version that I have. I don't even know how I can get it.
You can find it online, I'm sure. Marvel's not.
I'll just look it up real quick, see how it looks. Are you familiar with Milo Manara?
Very loosely.
Yeah, he's a dirty bird. What is this called? Avengers.
The Enemy Within.
Yeah, with the Enemy Within.
Yeah. Marvel doesn't do. They don't always usually don't put their variant covers with the digital editions like some people do.
I think that's some horse hockey. I don't agree with that.
I'm very, very sorry. Feel free to contact Marvel.
I will. I'm going to write them a letter right now.
Okay, good. I think they really want to hear your voice.
I'm sure they do.
In your noise.
I had so much noise.
In your belly aching.
Mm-hmm.
So while you're looking that up, I'll bring us to our the last book of the week is Thunderbolts number 9 by Daniel Way, Phil Noto, and Guru FX.
Yeah, good God.
And yeah, that's
that it. Where in the hell was Phil Noto's art? It doesn't look like...
No, it doesn't. This doesn't really look... I think it's just the coloring makes it... Because it's Guru... Whoever... I don't even know who that is. Guru FX. Is it a machine?
Probably not.
A sentient coloring machine?
Sweet.
It's going to take over the world.
I guess it says art by, so maybe he did pencils and inks, and then the digital color was done by another artist.
I think that's what really, I don't know. Because Thunderbolts, this book, I've heard different things about it, and Daniel Way is kind of very hit and miss for me as a writer. He wrote the double Deadpool title. He's written some things that I enjoy, and this is always like, oh, I've heard the buzz was, oh, it's not a bad book, but Steve Dillon did the art, and like all the characters had Dillon face, the grimacy.
Yes.
Yeah, like there was someone had posted a page of a scan, and it was Elektra, Punisher. And like a room full of goons, and they all have the same face.
Yeah, I'm seeing, in the introduction page, it's got Punisher there, and
you look at Red Hulk, and then the Punisher, and then Elektra with the same face.
Yes,
if you imagine Elektra with Frank Castle's face right there, that's what it looked like.
It's very pretty.
Yeah, I like Phil Noto. I like his work. I was hoping, like, maybe with the change of an artist, it'll make it, and I'll like it. But I don't know, maybe I don't know if it's the coloring. It's not the art is bad, it's just kind of flat.
Well, he's very figure-driven. He doesn't like drawing stuff in the backgrounds.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at his backgrounds, it's always like, the perspective's not very interesting. The details in the background aren't very interesting. It looks like it was laid out really roughly in Google SketchUp, or he just took a ruler and drew like a perfectly rectangular box in this background. Like it's all he doesn't give a crap about anything but drawing people, which I can relate to that. I'm the same way, but it doesn't make for a very rich comic. People expect a lot more.
Yeah, they do. And even the story.
Oh my god, I could not give less of a shit about what's going on in this book.
I know.
I read it three times and I'm like, what's going on? I read it then the second time, I'm like, what's going on?
I
read it again and I'm like, I don't want to know what's happening in this book. This is not interesting at all.
Why is Frank Castle and Elektra?
Yeah, it doesn't. It feels very forced. Like, why would these people even talk to each other?
Yeah, I don't understand it.
It all feels very forced and very silly.
Why does Frank Castle have a faux hawk?
Well, I think that more people should have faux hawks. It's just wonderfully douchey. I love it. He totally does, though. He just looks like a Marine to me, though, which makes all the sense in the world. I don't have a problem with it.
I don't know.
You can call out a faux hawk if you want. It's fine.
I don't know. It's in the middle. This one panel looks like it. The rest of it's fine. It's just the one panel. I just go, what the hell is with that? Why is he? It's Frank Castle. He's like a grizzled dude. He just looks too young, I guess. That's my main problem.
I've been wanting to read about Soldier Venom, and I have not. This is the first book I've seen with him in it, and I'm disappointed that it's this book.
Yeah, his solo book is a lot better than this.
Yeah, it's worth, like, the character is actually interesting. It's
Flash Thompson is pretty. Rick Remender wrote it up until the teens, and then Cullen Bunn took over the writing. And it's pretty enjoyable from what I've read. I mean, Flash Thompson when I went into it, I'm like, I don't give a shit about Flash Thompson. Why is this? And then they make him like an Iraqi war vet, and he has lost his legs. And so he volunteers to be in with the have the symbiote attached to him, just so he can get his legs back, basically.
That's pretty rad. I didn't even notice that where he's waking up in the hospital, he's got his legs missing. That's interesting.
Yeah,
he had zero idea. That's.
Yeah, and they only allow him to have the symbiote on a certain amount of time, because if it stays too long, it gets more permanently ingrained. Mm-hmm. So he has to, go back and forth, and he's fighting that and tons of other stuff. I think he's in Philadelphia right now, the character is, in his solo book. Maybe next week, so it comes out, we can review it. See how it is. But this is terrible.
Yeah, big thumbs down.
This is awful. I don't buy it.
I'm going to have my mother write a letter to Marvel and ask for my money back.
My son took my credit card. He's buying some of these comic books. Why is there a big red? I liked the Hulk when I was a child, but he was green.
I'm sure my mother even knows who the Hulk is.
I'm just trying to give her some character.
It's fine.
Who's this gentleman? Why does he have a skull on his shirt? Is he a pirate?
It's like you know her. It's incredible.
Okay. So that is it for Weekly Floppies. I hope you all enjoyed it. Next, we're premiering a new segment on our show. It'll come and go as we please. We'll probably have a couple different one of these that kind of float in and out as our whims, dictate. But spurred by our discussion of Brian Lee O'Malley's Twitter feed last week, which, surprisingly enough, I cut some of that. Like, there was more. We could have gone on probably for a lot longer.
I didn't even realize.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. I took out some because I'm like, I don't know how much people actually want to hear us just hate on Brian Lee O'Malley's Twitter feed. But inspired by that, mm-hmm. We have the Brian Lee O'Malley tweet quiz.
I can't tell you how excited I am about this.
But basically, what is going to happen, one of us, this week I'll do it, but next time it might be Eric, one of us will go, for the week and take down some notable tweets from his feed, and then we'll take, three of them that are his, and then write one of our own, in our own Brian Lee O'Malley Twitter voice, and quiz the other to see if they can guess which one doesn't belong.
I just to put this out there, I think I have no hope in hell.
I try to make it difficult too.
It's going to be impossible.
So
like, I literally have, if we're doing four, I have a 25% chance
at random.
Completely random.
But I mean, I try to do my best to imitate his voice, but we'll see how it goes. I'll give you the four choices and then. We'll see how you do. So, okay. A, I love it when little dogs are just like little dogs.
We're already off to a strong start.
B, I can't believe they figured out the formula for babies. C, Brad Pitt, more like Brad sit, Brad stay, Brad roll over.
Oh my God.
And finally, D, when I get rich, the first thing I'm going to buy is a machine that turns regular carrots into baby carrots. Should I cue the Jeopardy noise? You want me to read them again?
It was the baby thing. It was the second one.
Can't believe they figured out the formula.
It was dogs like regular dogs. That I love the formula for babies.
No, it's I love it when little dogs are just like little dogs. The next one is can't believe they figured out the formula for babies. One after that is Brad Pitt? ? More like Brad sit, Brad stay, Brad roll over. Then lastly, when I get rich, the first thing I'm going to buy is a machine that turns regular carrots into baby carrots.
Oh my god.
So which one is the one I wrote?
You're clearly an evil genius. And you're clearly an evil genius, and Brian Lee O'Malley is clearly an idiot hipster. Oh my god, my mind is blown. This is even harder than I thought, and I knew I was going to fail. I'm going with my gut here.
Okay.
And this is the one that I actually want him to say, because I think it's genuinely funny. It's too genuinely funny. Maybe that's what it is. And it's the baby carrots. That's the one I want to say that you wrote.
Wrong.
There we go.
The one I wrote is actually, I love it when little dogs are just like little dogs.
That, like I said, you're an evil genius. That is the last one that I was going to think. That sounds too much like some shit he would say. That's uncanny. So you have really captured his voice.
The other three are his.
On the other hand, I am genuinely glad that he came up with that carrot thing, because that's a good tweet. I like that. That is good. I approve of that.
Okay. Well,
I think that's. Did you put that in there as misdirection?
I tried to make a good mixture of completely insipid, mm-hmm, and slightly clever.
Mm-hmm.
And I started writing one about cats, and I think you would have known that was me. Sorry, I threw it and made it to dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just like became him. I just read his Twitter feed for like 10 minutes, and I was like, "What is that? Is it?"
I'm in the zone now.
And I'm in the O'Malley zone.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was the Brian Lee O'Malley tweet quiz. Eric failed.
Of course.
And maybe next time.
Firstborn to Robbie now.
I don't really want your firstborn.
That's just have Major Maple Leaf smash it.
That's a good point. I'll just dial in Major Maple Leaf, my Canadian friend.
Yeah.
But your child doesn't have AIDS.
Robbie, do I have to do everything? Do I have to give my future firstborn AIDS for you so you can have Major Maple Leaf punch it?
I can just lie to Major Maple Leaf and say he has it.
That's being entrepreneurial.
Exactly. I can make a superhero kill a baby by lying to him.
There you go.
Okay.
That in no way would backfire if Major Maple Leaf were a person.
Well, apparently he doesn't have any powers.
This incredibly plausible situation actually happened.
Apparently he doesn't have any powers. He just has a powered horse.
Okay.
That's
weird.
That's what his Wikipedia says, so. And Wikipedia is always right.
I mean, clearly.
Okay. So now we go on to Classic Breakdown!
Classic Breakdown! Doing voices.
That voice is unbelievable. I felt something stir.
Hey, we do what we can.
Okay. And this week we've selected, on Eric's suggestion, King City by Brandon Graham.
Brandon Graham.
And that this is... you want to handle the little plot summary? You want me to do it?
Well, let's just kind of jump back and forth. Actually,
okay.
Why don't you do it? I liked what you had to say when we talked about it. I'd like your take on it.
Okay. Basically, there's this dude who... The summary on it... I'll tell you, when Eric floated this to be our next book, I went to Amazon. I was like, because I need to order it. And I went to the summary, and it's like... the main character is a cat master, able to turn a cat into any tool or weapon he needs. And that's really all I needed to read. Yeah. I didn't need anything. That was enough. Oh, well, I guess I'm sold on this book then. He's a cat master. But yeah, basically the plot is the main character, his name is Joe, right?
Joe,
and he's returning to King City. He's been on he's been training as to become a cat master, basically. And he's returned to this city after a while. he meets up with his old friend. He's tracking down his old girlfriend, and he's still kind of feeling a lot of pain and bad memories from. And it kind of dances around the adventures of him, his friend, his best friend Pete, then his ex-girlfriend and her current boyfriend.
Anna and Max.
Max, which I think I like Max of all the characters. I think I actually like Max the best.
All the characters, they're all very strong characters.
They are. I'm not downplaying the rest of them. I like his story the best. And that's saying when there's a fucking cat master in the story as well.
I think it's really awesome that apart from having, like, basically this superpowered ability, I mean, the cat is a character in of itself.
The cat is not Earthling.
He's not just a prop.
No, the cat is, his name is Earthling, and he's a genius.
Yes,
he's a genius, like all cats. Mm-hmm. He does math in the mornings.
He does crystal math.
Crystal math.
He's Atticated.
That's just terrible. That's the basic. There is a big bad, but it's never necessarily the main focus of the story.
Yeah,
which I like.
It's going on. It's about the characters, you know.
It's more about Joe and Pete and mm-hmm. and what's the
expert what's important friend? To them?
Anna and Max and their personal motivations and their histories, and they're trying to work out through their issues.
Yeah,
they just happen to have happens to be a cat master, and they have weird things, but it's more about them as characters than it ever mm-hmm. is about the big villain of the book. I came into this completely, I didn't know anything aside that there's a cat master in it. I loved it. it was great.
Yeah.
The art is really good. I don't have the vocabulary. I'll let you, Eric, describe it, because I don't have the vocabulary for it
I think that it's a very interesting style. Brandon Graham is one of my favorite artists, and I don't think he's definitely got like really solid drawing skills, but I mean he has introduced me to artists that I like them more. Like, I think they have more drawing ability, like they just do crazy stuff, but like he's got like a really, like, I like the way it's designed. I like how loose and free like everything is. I don't know. It really reflects a lot of who he is as a person. And I think to an extent any art does that. You get to see a little bit of how they think. And I don't know, Brandon is just like a crazy, magnificent bastard to the core. And I think that is what I enjoy about his artwork. It's difficult to put into words, but it's got a richness, even though he doesn't like, everything is like very stylized and loosely drawn, and it's just like I if you look at the collected books in the back, like I think that there's some stronger art that he didn't do, but I think I would still, I could read hundreds of pages of comics that he did. It's just special. It's just wonderful and near and dear to my heart.
Yeah, you mentioned all that, but, and the art is so good, but then the story itself is excellent.
It's true, and it's easy to write him off because he acts like such a doofus. He says the goofiest things. I mean, he doesn't ever act dumb, I mean, except on purpose. But he's a very competent writer.
Yeah, and it kind of is belayed by the fact that, I had mentioned this before to you off air, but it's like he kind of just plays out, I just kind of draw what I like,
mm-hmm.
and kind of, I do rough layouts for a few pages, and just, draw what I'm interested in, but it's very tight. The story is not, it revolves very very closely around these main characters, effectively communicates their backstory, makes them all interesting but unique. Mm-hmm. And there's it never seems cheap, the storytelling. It seems like he had this is all planned out very carefully, when in fact it was all half on the fly, which is insane to me.
But, well, I think that's probably part of the story. And I guess this is not a bad jumping off point for the questions, the sort of semi interview. Did we already set that up?
No, we did not. Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you can go. Eric has interacted with Brandon a few times on Twitter, right?
Yeah, a couple of times. It's all very minor stuff. He'll post some artwork. He's like, "Oh, everybody, look at this page of some French artist drawing a lot of Smurf people with driving cars," and it's just a page of amazing, very French artwork. And, you know, I said something about it. I think I said it reminds me of the way Kira Toriyama used to draw cars back when he was doing Dr. Slump. And he's like, yeah. But that was the whole interaction. It was a bunch of little stuff like that. He told me that he wanted Batman to be a duck that swims in money.
That's not a bad idea. Again, when you told me that before, and that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, it could be a worse idea. But well, that's just, I don't know.
I was going to mention to you that, you know, you said, "Oh, I want Batman to be Scrooge McDuck."
Mm-hmm.
There is actually a digital comic that's coming out, a digital Batman. DC does digital first mm-hmm. kind of books, you know, that they release digitally and then collect in print. And there's actually one as like a young Bruce Wayne is world hopping with Alfred solving mysteries, adventure stuff.
That sounds super cool. We should do that. We should read that.
Yeah, I'll throw it in either, you know, whenever the next one comes out. We can do it.
Totes my goats.
But Eric, he threw out some, he contacted Brandon and told him we were doing this, and he gave him some questions, and Brandon was amazingly awesome and answered them.
It was less than, it might have been like half an hour after I sent the email that he emailed me back with everything answered. He was pretty thorough too.
Yeah, like, he was.
I threw a lot of questions in there. I don't know that I didn't exactly bullet point it out. I kind of rambled a little bit. And he was really cool about it.
So I don't know if you want to touch base on any of the, I mean, give it quick. We're going to be linking to the complete text in the page. Mm-hmm. We're just going to kind of hit the high points. In the actual audio.
What's the URL?
Oh, for they can just go to handsomeboyscomicshour.com and I'll link it to the actual post with the podcast.
Right.
So
we'll link on the Facebook page also.
Yeah, that as well, yeah.
Yeah, so this is some content we're gonna put up. But
yeah, it's pretty exciting.
The first thing that I asked him about is I started reading King City pretty soon after it came out. I think it was the first little pocket manga style book, because it was released by Tokyopop, and they started losing a ton of money, and they cut a ton of books, and like it happened maybe within a month. All these books were cut of me buying the first King City, and it was one of the ones that was cut. But he talked about he was rushing to get the book done when Tokyopop cut the books. A bunch of books were returned. They just talked about how it was frustrating and having to deal with them. And I remember, because I was following his blog at the time, and he started posting the individual pages, and it was the only way to read the next King City. It was all that there was. And this is how, like, you know, I came to follow him. That, I mean, this has gone on for a long, long time. I've been following his blog and all the crazy shit that he puts up. It would just be like a wall of random scans and all this stuff. And then he's like, okay, here's some King City pages. But it would be like hand lettered. Like the book that we just read, it had the lettering redone. It was typeset by, someone digitally. But all of these were like he hand did all the typography, which, you know, you can see evidence of it. On the covers and on the inside, it's pretty obvious what he's handwriting and what is a font.
Yeah.
But it was all done by hand. It was just interesting to see the difference, because you could have seen the exact same pages in a more raw state. It was just, I don't know, it was really cool. But, he says that it pretty much led to what he wanted. It could have got him in a lot of trouble, and it made them very angry.
Yeah.
But it led to discussions. He had some friends at Image that basically made this book come out that it might not have ever existed if that was the case, if that didn't happen.
Yeah. I mean, he also, I've already kind of touched on the fact that he did kind of, you know, the storytelling, the basic outline and rough layouts and stuff, but then did most of it at a whim. He kind of mentions mm-hmm. that multiple times, and it's kind of his work habits and stuff like that. I know you wanted to bring up the Mobius question.
I did want to bring up Mobius, because I've seen him, he's talked about Mobius quite a few times. I don't know if I'd say that his comic book is European in style, but I know that having read it, I would definitely think that he would be a fan of people like Mobius, just coming out of nowhere. But he's talked about Mobius a lot. There were some memes going around a couple of years back where he like did his own version of some drawings that Mobius did, like some of very iconic Mobius drawings, like, what is it, the Star Watcher? I can't remember what it's called. And then there's this one with like this 12-year-old girl that is like taking her clothes off and masturbating. It's kind of a disturbing image, but they're very, very like iconic Mobius drawings. And he sort of started a trend where like all of his artist friends did their own versions of these same illustrations. But Mobius was someone that was very important to me, and he died last year, and it felt very significant to me. Like it actually, like, hurt me, like, kind of a lot. And I asked him, you know, what went through your head when you found out that Mobius died? And I just thought it was really interesting. His response was, he said, you know, it's the first time in my life where I felt a loss from someone that I'd never met. And he said that, you know, I'm glad that I got to live on the same planet as Mobius. That always excited me. And I don't know, I really liked that. That's a very poignant thing. But
yeah, absolutely.
It's he's a pretty cool dude. It's hard to say anything bad about him. He's
yeah, it's pretty awesome just to answer our questions.
I know.
Like that.
I know. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. There's a few other things we asked him. We're not gonna, we had kind of mentioned it in context, but we'll put it up on,
Yeah, you can
link it to the actual podcast. Link the podcast.
Can read the whole thing. Yeah,
you read it all.
Did you have any things you want to touch on, or you feel like we've gone on long enough?
I can't. Again, this is excellent. This is one of the best things I've read this year, easily.
Good.
It's really, really good.
I'm glad that I suggested it to you. I didn't realize you would like it quite so much.
Yeah, one thing that always kept popping in my head is the thought was it's like someone created an entire world based on puns. And that's half true, I would say. Yeah. Because just saying that makes it seem like it's a very silly book and a silly kind of world he's created. But yeah. You feel for these characters there's a lot of depth there that I don't get from a lot of stuff that I read.
And
it's such a silly idea, like a cat master, like a guy who manipulates a cat to unlock doors or uses a cat as a periscope. It's very silly.
He looks in his anus to turn him into a periscope.
Yeah,
it's like the part where it was Joe and Pete, and they're sitting on that fountain.
Yeah.
And Anna walks up, and she's like, "What are you guys doing?" And he yells into the cat like a loudspeaker. She's like, "Drinking juice." It's like, why? That's so goofy and random. And I was in public reading that, and I laughed out loud like a crazy person.
But in all, it's so silly and goofy.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's very real. Mm-hmm. These characters are. It's some of the best writing I've read in a long time. And I was not expecting it from this very silly idea. But it's excellent.
He's dead serious about acting like an idiot.
Exactly.
We are
on board with that program.
Absolutely. I could not agree more.
So, moving on to our last segment. It is Random Character Generator, everyone's favorite.
Oh, my goodness.
And this week's idea came from Mr. Brandon Graham himself. We gave him an idea of what we were doing, and he was... He proposed the idea of taking just an old title of something, a comic book or otherwise, and just going off the title alone, figuring out what the idea would be. His example was Wetworks, about a pea sniper.
I think that was actually a friend of his that.
Oh, his friend's idea. Okay. Well, he told us about it.
Yes.
And that alone is pretty spectacular. But we decided to go to do the same thing. You know, take a title from something. I'm doing a comic book. I have no idea what Eric's doing. We're doing one each, keeping it a mystery. Reveal it at the same time.
Now, are we
playing around?
Are we coming up with, like, together? We're going to riff on this, or what are we doing here?
I have mine, and I have an idea for the character itself, but we don't have to. We can bounce it. We can, of course, change it around. This is not set in stone.
Okay. I think the way we start is we say the name.
Okay.
And then we start talking about it, and we set it up, and then we talk about how the two, like, interact.
Okay, that's good. I think that sounds good. You want to go first, or you want me to go first?
Well, I think you should go first, because I'm going to kind of ruin it.
That's mine. Okay, we'll see
let's,
about
let's
that.
Let that loom heavy over okay. this conversation.
I chose Prime. The mainstay, one of the mainstays of the Ultraverse universe.
Mm-hmm.
But going by the title alone, Prime, my first thought went to Prime Numbers. And so I think a superhero mathematician, he can do geometry and trigonometry on the fly in his head. My first comparison would be Amadeus Cho, if you're familiar with that character.
I'm not.
Okay, he's at the time he was in the when the Incredible Hercules book was around. he was his sidekick, and he's like this whiz kid, like a 17-year-old genius. He's like he was the seventh smartest man on the planet, mm-hmm. And he had no powers aside from his brilliance, but I think he wouldn't use math. He'd use the power of math in a very abstract way, and like he would be able to, you know, instantly tell people's weight and their, you know, the force and all the physics, mm-hmm. and he could use that to make them very unsteady on their feet. And that's it. I think that's all you need.
Okay.
He makes, like, if someone's standing on a rock, he can, like, touch the rock in the right way and they fall down.
Alright.
I think that's a solid basis, right?
For Prime?
For Prime.
Okay.
Prime, the man who can make people fall down.
Well, I was thinking that the one that stood out to me, and it's a character that I always forget about. What is this? It's from Valiant Comics.
Okay.
Magnus Robot Fighter.
Oh!
And you know my affinity for Robot Fighter. That's the new last name I made up for you. You need to change your name. It's no longer Dorman.
It's Robbie Robot Fighter.
It's Robbie Robot Fighter.
Well, it is alliterative to a certain extent.
Yes, but Robbie Robot Fighter. But that in that spirit, it's this guy, this character is he's not like you'd think with a name Magnus Robot Fighter that he'd be. And it's I'm changing it from Robot Fighter. Magnus, comma, Robot Fighter, to his name is Magnus Robot Fighter.
Okay, I understand.
So, he's actually not this big badass that punches robots in the face, that he's actually a CPA.
Okay.
And he gets into shenanigans. It's just sort of ironic that he has this big badass name and people keep calling him up like, oh, you need to come save me from this robot, and he's like, I can do your taxes. That's kind of like
Big Lebowski, where
yeah.
he's
yeah,
not.
There you go. That's good.
Not Lebowski, but he is Lebowski.
You want Magnus, comma, Robot Fighter.
Yeah,
you
I'm this, Magnus. Yeah. I'm Magnus Robot Fighter, not Magnus, comma. That's not my title.
Yes,
it's a surname.
It's my name. Yeah, it's. So he's all time, you know, coming out of these things, and you know, you want the guy in the Flash Gordon shorts that punches robots in the face. I'm a CPA.
I think
I use QuickBooks. I can punch QuickBooks.
That works very well together, though.
Yeah, they do.
The CPA and the math guy.
They do. They're,
I
they're,
think that would be good.
They're going to start an accounting firm.
Well, I think this is how it works. That mm-hmm. Magnus. He's just, you know, his normal CPA self, and he keeps getting people, you know, the people think he's the actual robot fighter, and he gets pulled into some kind of adventure that he's overmatched for,
mm-hmm.
and he goes to the only person that he knows that he thinks could help him,
mm-hmm.
which is a mathematician buddy, who just happens...
To just have superpowers based on math.
Math superpowers, but he doesn't know that he has math superpowers. He just thinks he's a mathematician.
I just want to say that math-based superpowers are pretty rad. Like, I think that it should... Like, I'm seeing him as, like, a really skinny nerd, but
yes.
he's, like, an incredible badass at the same time.
I hate making this comparison. you've seen Equilibrium, correct?
I have seen Equilibrium.
And the Gun Kata?
The Gun Kata.
The gun ninjas?
Yes,
gun. Whatever it is. It's so terrible. And just thinking about it makes me laugh because it's so terrible.
Just remember that their true power is unleashed when you pick up puppies.
It works for me, so.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, it's not necessarily, it's, he can predict where things are happening because he sees,
mm-hmm.
he knows the math behind it. He uh-huh. sees the math below the world.
I'm seeing him, he's like some kind of gunslinger badass, you know?
Well, I don't know if he necessarily would use it. I don't think
no,
he's
he wouldn't
like
Batman. He wouldn't need to use a gun. I don't know. It would be like math magic.
Exactly. I think that's the best. He can just, he knows, he can calculate everything instantly, so it just comes at him. If someone shoots a bullet at him, he knows that from the trajectory of the bullet and how fast bullets travel, exactly how to avoid it. He knows if a guy weighs 600 pounds is flying at him or throwing a rock, he knows how hard he threw the rock.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows exactly how to avoid it or how to manipulate it so that it hurts the guy back.
So is he like a Mentat from Dune? And he's like a human computer?
Kind of. Yeah, I mean he's a math ninja.
Mm-hmm.
He's primed ninja.
You would say ninja?
Kind of. He's mystical.
I'm seeing he's got like these broad sweeping like movements or things that he would do.
More samurai than ninja?
Yeah, more, well, maybe.
Mass samurai? That's not bad. He does have honor.
Yeah.
He's not shifty in that. He can dodge things, but he stands up for his beliefs. He doesn't run away.
I think he needs to be like about 5'6" and like really, really underweight too.
Yeah, absolutely.
He looks like Revenge of the Nerds in my mind.
He's even smaller.
Yeah.
He's smaller than Magnus. Magnus is not a very large gentleman.
No.
He's just a humble CPA. And Prime is even smaller.
Yeah. Yeah.
But who are they fighting? Who does Magnus get pulled into first?
Clearly, it starts with giant robots because that's how the arc
begins.
That's
true. Yeah. They're pulled into this. They don't expect to team up, but after their first adventure, they go, why don't we just keep doing this?
Yeah.
And then he becomes, I think the character arc for Magnus is that he actually becomes a robot fighter.
Yes.
He realizes the power inside himself, and he's like, yes, I can actually do this.
His dad always told him, no, son, you will never fight robots. And he's like,
maybe his father was a robot fighter.
Maybe he really was. Yeah.
And he was like, he didn't want his son to get into that. He's like, you need a good, honest trade. You know, something that'll pay the bills, something that you can provide your family with. I'm never home. You need to be home with your family. But he's a CPA. He doesn't have a wife. He's kind of a lonely guy.
Yeah.
So and then he gets pulled in this adventure.
His father's a little bit like Davis Seaworth.
Kind of, yeah.
He creates his own name.
Yes, exactly.
His father has his fingers chopped off, and he wears them on his neck.
I don't think he can get lost his fingers.
Oh, wow.
He's probably lost something from fighting robots, you would imagine. I don't think he's invincible. I think he's just very good at fighting robots. But so it's just a giant robots.
To be fair, the technology was not what it is back then. So they were weaker robots.
That's true. So now they're like, where? How big are the robots?
We're talking like there's like a massive corporation.
Probably
out of Japan because that's where robots come from.
That makes perfect sense. Yeah. They foil the first attempt at this big robot. But the overarching enemy for the entire is probably the corporation and their leader. And their leader is probably some genius.
Yeah, he's like evil Tony Stark.
Yeah, but he's brilliant too. He's a genius,
of course.
And Prime actually admired him until he learned about his evil. I think that's a good. And then they deal with random issues come issue to issue, but overarching, they have to go after Japanese Tony Stark. You think that's good?
I think this. I think it's too good.
I was kind of hoping we would come up with something retarded. We should. I know.
I know. This is actually like I'm getting into this. I want to read this book.
We need to pitch it.
I know.
Get Image on the phone.
Oh my god! No, this is it's certainly better than building a printing press out of your dead wife's bones.
It certainly is. But yeah, that is Random Character Generator for the week, folks. No one steal our ideas. That is copyright Eric and Robbie Incorporated.
I'll give you such a pinch.
Exactly. You don't want him to pinch you, folks. It's pretty rough.
Yeah, it's. Robbie knows.
I've been pinched in the past. So that was that's episode 2 of the Handsome Boys Comics Hour. Hope you enjoyed it. We're still kind of hashing things out, working through our segments, but I'm quite pleased. Mm-hmm. You can find me online at the Twitter handle is MixmasterCereal, MixmasterCereal. I know it's quite a mouthful. Mm-hmm. You can find the website. We have a Facebook page now, Handsome Boys Comics Hour. It's facebook.com/HandsomeBoysComicsHour. Our website is HandsomeBoysComicsHour.com. You can email us at HandsomeBoyComics@gmail.com. Eric, where can they find you?
My Twitter is Mr. Bad Example, spelled MR Bad Example. And really, I have good SEO. You can Google Eric Z. Goodnight. You can go to ericzgoodnight.com, and you can find a lot of the things that I get up to online, articles that I've written, and art that I have done, and various other things. There's kind of a lot of it out there.
So, yeah, dig in. Email us, tweet us, either of us. If you have any questions for the next show, we didn't put out a call this week because we are forgetful. But next week, I'll make a note sure to do it.
I didn't get a chance to run in there and say something stupid.
Yeah, I should have done it earlier in the week. But let us know what you think. We appreciate the comments. Go to iTunes, review us. It helps us get more listeners. But yeah, this is episode 2. Have a good day. Bye.